Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, he covers the NFL for Fox Sports, Greg Allman. Greg, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
No, thanks for having me. Hope you guys are doing well.
Greg, I said this last year. I feel like I'm almost repeating myself other than a few words here and there. I still think in the NFC South, because of the quarterback situation with Baker Mayfield, that gives the Bucs a huge advantage in the NFC South. Their quarterback play, and you know, over the last 2 years, Mayfield's thrown more touchdown passes than any other quarterback in the NFL. Goes to show how good he's been. Now, got that running game going with Bucky Irvin. You return five starting offensive linemen. Evans is back in. You draft Abuka to come in to help you at receiver. I think that's there. Any question mark is how good is their defense going to be? To be honest with you, and that's sort of strange when you talk about Todd Bowles, but I think if there's a question from keeping them from being talked about like a Philadelphia or a Green Bay or, say, a San Francisco, I think it's maybe that questions on defense. But in the NFC South, I think it's the battle royal, so to speak, on who's playing for 2 and 3 at this stage. And I think we understand the Saints are in a rebuilding stage here with a certainly major question marks. Can they stop the run and that quarterback?
Yeah, I agree with you on all counts. If the Saints get into the conversation for 2 or 3, they've done really well. You know, I think the expectation right now is the Bucs on top and the Saints on the bottom. And the difference of opinion will be whether it's Falcons over Panthers or Panthers over Falcons, or whether you think either of them can catch the Bucs or can really challenge the Bucs. Yeah, New Orleans, I think, first-year head coach, rookie quarterback, who's not necessarily top-tier rookie quarterback, it's asking a lot. That defense, I think it helps to make some of the changes they've made, but your foundation is getting really old. I mean, they're going to have to. Again, I've said this probably 3 years in a row, but I think DeMario Davis, I think Cam Jordan, they have to continue to not act their age. I think Cam kind of had a little bit of resurgence in the second half of last season. Even Tyrann Mathieu's getting up there. So, I think offensively they've done well. You know, to put their top picks each of the last 2 years into tackles really upgrades that line, gives you a foundation for your offense, makes life easier for both the quarterback and the running game. It's so important to have both Olave and Shaheed be healthy. You know, I think that really took a lot away from everything last year when they lost them, just because you didn't have great receiver depth to begin with. But to have those two missing time, if they're both healthy, it's a solid 1-2, and it's something that helps them a lot. But again, I think right now to look at what the expectations are in Vegas for them and for most people, if they take any kind of step forward, if they can get to 6-7 wins, that's a great first year for Kellen Moore.
With you, Greg. I agree with you totally. Your thoughts on this? I've asked this to a couple of different people, and they both gave me the same answer. I talked to Jen Hale from Fox Sports, and then we had Ryan Horvat from BetMGM, and I said, other than the Eagles, give me the number two team in the NFC. And they both told me the same answer, San Francisco 49ers. Now, it would not be my pick, but it was theirs. So I'll ask you, if there's a two team in the NFC, who is it? After the Eagles,
I'd say it's Detroit still. I mean, Detroit had so many injuries in their defense last year. I know they lost both their coordinators to be head coaches elsewhere. Ragnow retired. That's not an easy thing. But I think they're easily the next team when I think about the NFC. Washington, I think, is fighting to get into that kind of third spot, that next tier. San Francisco, again, just overrun with injuries last year. If they're healthy, they can be a factor again. I don't think their division is as tough. And then in the North, I mean, the NFC North is going to be a fun division to watch. I mean, I think Minnesota will take a step back just as a function of having a young quarterback and not knowing who he is. They're a little bit like Atlanta. You just have no idea how the quarterback's going to be. So it's hard to get too excited about them just because for Minnesota to repeat what they did last year, they'd have to have McCarthy have a year like Jaden Daniels did last year or Bo Nix did. And those kind of rookie success stories are really hard to find. So to look around the NFC, it's definitely the easier of the two conferences. But I would think of it as Eagles and Lions and then a decent drop off to Washington and the Bucks and probably the Niners in that same conversation. I mean, there's other teams you could put in there. You know, Chicago will be a team that's on the rise. I don't know if they're in that same tier yet. And honestly, Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay has a tough schedule, but I think Green Bay will be a double-digit win team and a team that, you know, will be fun to think about in January in terms of being dangerous. NFC North was such a great division all of last year, and then they went 0-3 in the playoffs and were a complete non-factor. So you can't tell which is who they are, the team that had, you know, 15 wins, 14 wins, 11 wins, or the team that, that didn't show up in the playoffs at all. That'll be the fun answer is how that shakes out and who they are at the end of the season.
Greg, do you think this is the year Baltimore makes it to Super Sunday? Because they've come so close, and again, Buffalo's right there, too, with them, along with the Chiefs. But, you know, acquiring Jaire Alexander, getting him after the Packers cut him loose, and, you know, Derrick Henry is who he is. He's a freak of nature. I cannot compare him to anybody in the NFL over the last 10, 12 years, which is really saying something when comparisons normally come to players pretty quickly. Is this the year they can break through and play on Super Bowl Sunday?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I think one of the better stories across the league this year is just these AFC quarterbacks trying to get ahead of Mahomes and trying to get past the Chiefs. You know, they've had such a blockade on getting to the Super Bowl for the most part. I mean, Burrow did it once, but for the most part, their ceiling has just become they're in the same conference as Patrick Mahomes. And that goes for Lamar Jackson. That goes for Josh Allen. That goes for, you know, Burrow and C.J. Stroud. You know, that there's some great quarterbacks that are just absolutely stuck in the shadow of the one guy they can't get past. So, yeah, I expect the Chiefs to take a step down. I mean, they don't have everybody they had last year. I mean, they were underwhelming last year and still made it to the Super Bowl. So I do expect them to be less of a force, you know. And if you can get it to where the playoffs don't go through Arrowhead, that definitely helps. Where they go through Baltimore, they go through Buffalo. Buffalo's so good at home. I think they could be trouble if they can get home field. So there's going to be this, you know, this battle to get to whatever it takes, 13 wins, 14 wins to secure home field advantage. That's going to play out all season long. But I do think there's a chance. I mean, I think they've had that sustained success, even though they didn't win a Super Bowl, don't get me wrong. But they've owned the AFC for so long that I think you start rooting for anything that's not more of the same. You just want something to change and somebody else to have a shot, basically.
You know, Greg, it's a little bit more difficult with the AFC because you have those alien type of quarterbacks that you were just mentioning. But the NFC, you know, it feels like it could be ripe for a little bit of turnover. About 50%, I was reading this since they changed the format to 14 teams, just over 50% of teams returned to the playoffs after making it the prior year. And with the NFC, I just want to get your thoughts on potential sleeper teams that you're keeping an eye on that didn't make the postseason in 2024 that could make it in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about Chicago. You know, I don't know if Chicago will be all the way there. It takes a lot to have a first-year head coach really click. Obviously, there's a lot of excitement around Ben Johnson and what he can do with a potent quarterback and Caleb Williams. So you think about them being there. I'm not sold on Dallas. I'm not sold on the Giants. I'm not sold. The Falcons in this division in the South, you know, if Penix were to really click, that's what it would take for Atlanta to be any kind of factor. As a wild card, as a challenger to the Bucks, and I'm curious. I don't know how he'll do. He had three games at the end of last season, kind of a sneak preview, showed some promise, but wasn't overwhelming by any means. And then you think about out west, not necessarily sold on Seattle. Arizona is a really hard team to get a grip on who they are. I think their defense in the second half of last season was much better. I think Marvin Harrison will be a lot more impactful than he was as a rookie. But I'm not sure about them either. So you have a whole bunch of teams kind of in the middle of that second tier there where their upside is probably 10 wins as a wild card. But, you know, you get in the playoffs, you think about who Washington was. And even, you know, Thanksgiving, talking about Washington, we weren't sure who they were or if they'd hit a wall. And things came together, and they won two playoff games, you know, and really put a scare in up until they hit the Eagles there, looked like a real force. It's hard to know if they'll be able to replicate that, you know. I think – they're not going to take anybody by surprise this time around, but I think they're really talented. I think they'll be a dangerous team.
Greg, one thing we didn't talk about, LA Rams, because
yeah, absolutely.
They paper thin at every position that they have. But if you talk about they pulled the ropes up and they got in the ring with the Eagles and gave them everything they wanted on their turf. Now, Saquon went wild on them running the ball again. But they do have Matt Stafford. And, man, he can still play. I know he's pushing up there in the late 30s, but he can still throw the football. They got a good running game going. I wonder a little bit defensively because of the fact that I think everybody sees that film and sees that if you have a commitment to the running game, you could run on the Rams. But your thoughts on Sean McVay, and I think he's done a really nice job with not a lot of draft choices, being able to repiece this team together.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams, I'm negligent to leave them out when I ran through teams earlier. The Rams have such a good young defense. I think everybody knows about Jared Verse and who he was. They had like 18 rookies on their roster last year, so it's a really young team. Obviously, they've got some veterans in place to offset that. I mean, Stafford's probably getting close to the end of his window, realistically. So there's some urgency there as well, and I always like when you have teams that have some really old aspects and some really young aspects. You know, they took such a step back, whatever it was, 2 years ago. You didn't know if McVay was going to come back. And then last year, especially the second half of last year, they really kind of found themselves. So I do think Los Angeles is a team that can definitely, I mean, you talk about the Niners being a top tier. I don't know that I think of the Niners as the team to beat in the West. I think the Rams could very well be that team. I think San Francisco has to get healthy, has to get by without some key parts that they've had for a long time that have left and signed elsewhere. But the Rams, I mean, you think about the coaching aspect of things, and people forget how good McVay has been. If that defense can kind of find itself and get some experience now, you know, that first to second year jump can be huge, and you're talking about four or five key players on that defense that'll be there. It's neat to think about what they could do.
You know, Greg, another thing I wanted to ask you about, talking about buying stock in some teams that are a little bit low on the ladder that you think could potentially make a playoff appearance, looking at the inverse, because, I mean, I was looking at the Vegas preseason old totals, and there's about 14 different teams, depending on which site your service you're using, that have the over-under of not, at least 9.5. So looking at potential double digits. Yeah. And almost all of them are returning playoff contenders except for, like, San Francisco, and Cincinnati wasn't in the postseason this past year. And then they drop out, like, the Vikings and the Steelers and stuff like that. So I just want to get your thoughts on who you're kind of selling stock in ahead of the 2025 season.
Yeah, Miami's definitely one. I don't even know there's high expectations for them. But it's like back when the schedule came out in May, one of my colleagues, Henry McKenna at Fox, everybody did predictions for teams, and he had the Dolphins like 4-13, like four games under their over-under. Just a really harsh prediction. But honestly, to see, you know, it's like, I don't know that I really thought they would have Ramsey back, but to lose Ramsey, to lose Jonnu Smith, I think Minka helps them, but they've got a real hole at cornerback, a vulnerability there. So defensively, I don't know how sound they're going to be. I think that division now, New England kind of finding themselves. I think Vrabel will help things there. Jets, I don't know if Aaron Glenn would be able to take hold right away, but I think that whole division could be tougher around them. So I think they could be in for trouble if things don't click. In terms of other teams I'm not that keen on or not that high on, you know, Pittsburgh, I wonder about Pittsburgh. You know, I think everybody's excited because Aaron Rodgers is there. But to look at their schedule, it's not easy. That's just a nasty division to be in, aside from Cleveland, to where, you know, you can be a really good team, but if you go 0-4 against the Ravens and the Bengals, it's hard to get past that. So the Steelers, we had to do a game-by-game breakdown and kind of pick every game. And I had them 9-8, but I think they had to beat Baltimore in Week 18 to get to 9-8. So if anything doesn't click, if Rodgers gets hurt and you got Mason Rudolph or in there or something like that, I think that's something where things could go south there. I'm not sold on Pittsburgh being an amazing team. They've added some pieces. They've definitely put some talent in to kind of maximize this window they have with Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers was a 5-win quarterback last year. So, I mean, that's a tough one for me to buy into, is them being much of a force.
Greg, if there's a kink in the armor with the Buccaneers, wouldn't it be at cornerback?
It could be a corner. They put their second and third round picks into corners. I mean, they really like two young guys they have there in Benjamin Morrison and Jacob Parrish. The holes that I see are the vulnerabilities and the question marks. Probably start with the offensive coordinator, just because he's never been a play caller before. Right. A guy named Josh Grizzard. He's only 34 years old. They keep getting younger. And obviously, Todd Bowles has had really good luck in picking Dave Canales and picking Liam Cohen, and both of them being so good in first-year coordinators that they're head coaches. I don't think there's as much of a threat with Josh Grizzard doing that, but I think that they really like the stability and the continuity of promoting from inside. He was kind of their third down guy working with Cohen last year, and they were the best third down offense in the NFL. So I think that from the standpoint of having all the personnel back, they literally returned more than 100% of their yards from last year, which is crazy. All five offensive linemen are back. You know, the coaching staff, the uncertainty of him not being a play caller is the only reason I would have any question about them being a top five offense again. And on defense, there's just a couple spots they can't take an injury. If they lose a safety, if they lose an inside linebacker, there's not a lot of depth, and there's a hole that they have to work with. But beyond that, I think they'll be better just because they were really hurt on defense last year. And if they're healthy, they'll be a much improved defense, and not as good as their offense is, but at least middle of the pack.
If that Winfield guy stays healthy, they're damn good on defense. That's all I know.
Yeah,
he makes really a difference at safety. Was that?
Right. Antoine was hurt, and then when he came back, I don't know that he was really himself. So, you know, you think about who he was 2 years ago, just filling up the box score, a ton of forced fumbles and interceptions and, you know, really an all-pro safety, and then really just a non-factor last year. And he's healthy. You know, I mean, the guy got paid the highest – defensive back contract in NFL history and wants to make good on that, wants to show that he was worth that and is worth that. So I think he'll be really motivated. And like you said, if he gets back, they had seven interceptions as a team on defense last year. And it's just a terribly small number. They'd like that to be like 25. And I think they have a chance to get a lot better. I don't know if they're going to triple their interceptions in 1 year, but Winfield's a guy who, again, if the ball's in the air, he's really dangerous. Having a guy like Hassan Reddick come in and be kind of a more dangerous pass rusher, a more known commodity, a pass rusher will help them get consistent pressure without blitzing as much as they like to. And I think that'll help. You need bad passes. You need balls thrown when they shouldn't be, and that's how you get interceptions, and that's something they didn't have a lot last year.
Greg, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks so much. Greg Allman does a great job covering the NFL for Fox Sports.